D.H. Lawrence described the English as being paralyzed by fear, to the point that their fear blocks and distorts the Anglo-Saxon existence. If the writer were alive today, to turn on a television or radio, listen to politicians or engage in a conversation in a pub, he would find his observations confirmed by an obsession with the countless dangers that exist in the modern world. Ranging from epidemics and terrorism to smoking cigarettes, drinking alcohol, and eating fast food. In no area of public policy does this obsession with dangerousness dominate so much as in penal policy. It shapes how the contemporary prison system is understood, to a point where it blocks and distorts public debate, pushing deeper underlying social problems into the background. The image of dangerous offenders dominates the emotionally charged public debate about crime. Even official reports scream that the public are sick and tired of a sentencing system that does not make sense, that they read about dangerous, violent, sexual and other serious offenders who get off lightly, or are not in prison long enough. But how is a dangerous offender defined? The interpretation has varied wildly over time and between settings. In the early 20th century, successful thieves were seen as the big threat. But subsequently, a range of moral panics has focused on others who threaten to tear apart the fabric of society, including teenage gangs, dangerous dogs, and recently hoodies, menacing adolescents who wear hoods. The dangerous offender definition is now spreading to cover non-criminal but antisocial behavior. Even if it is agreed that dangerous offenders are those who commit the most serious violent and sexual offenses, accurately identifying people who may be dangerous in the future is difficult. Government research into the main risk assessment method used in prisons shows that it is effective at predicting how likely prisoners are to re-offend, but does not take account of the seriousness of the offences and is largely based on high-volume, less serious crime, such as theft, burglary and drugs offences. The second part of the assessment examines risk of harm and is intended to identify those who would commit serious violent and sexual offences. However, the research shows that in a third of cases, this assessment was not done. And even when it was often incomplete, and conclusions were inconsistent. As a result, there will be significant false positives. People identified as dangerous, but who are not. And false negatives. People identified as not dangerous, but who are. A criminal justice system that has a vague picture of dangerousness has wider consequences in the community. There is a mistaken view that streets and prisons are overflowing with dangerous people. The British Crime Survey has shown that 65% of people think crime is on the rise. Despite the fact that, including violent crime, it has fallen by 40% over the last 12 years. And this mistaken view of things is feeding an explosion in the use of prison. That has seen the population grow from 43,000 to 82,000 in 15 years. Those passing sentence are more willing to use imprisonment for longer periods. Most notably, indefinite sentences have doubled since the Criminal Justice Act of 2003. Sentencing inflation lower down the seriousness scale has also been affected. The majority of people sent to prison have committed less serious offences. More than half of prison sentences are shorter than 6 months, and less than 10% are for 4 years or more. The mistaken view that all prisoners are dangerous creates an impression that the growth in the prison population is a sign of success. The prison population does not mirror the population as a whole, but is distorted, with marginalized groups overrepresented. Prisons have an overrepresentation of people from black and minority ethnic communities, people who have been in care, who have low levels of literacy and numeracy, are homeless or jobless, or have mental health problems. People in economically deprived communities are more likely either to suffer from or commit serious crime. Therefore, the increasing use of imprisonment does not fall evenly across the community, but is felt most keenly within these groups and worsens these social inequalities. Labeling certain groups as dangerous also contributes to social exclusion. It turns away and neutralizes concerns about inequality. Marking particular groups as dangerous suggests they are undeserving of attention. Such labeling also diverts attention from other social harms, such as road safety or health and safety at work, both of which result in many more deaths than murder. The emphasis on crime control reinforces established power structures and inequality. Powerless groups, such as the socially excluded, the young and immigrants, are targeted for control under the danger to society label, rather than powerful groups, such as employers and economic interests. A combination of paralysis and distortion has arisen from the fear of crime. It has obscured the real nature of the criminal justice system, building instead a picture of offenders committing more serious offences than is the reality. It excludes consideration of social issues that contribute to crime, and it supports the view that imprisonment is effective. The consequences are serious. The ever-increasing prison population worsens social inequalities and increases the moral impoverishment of society, undermining compassion in social policy. These are the circumstances in which it has been suggested by Norwegian academic Nils Christie that, rather than talking about dangerous offenders, we should be asking whether the state itself is becoming dangerous to its citizens.